Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said, be careful how you live. You might be the only Bible some people will ever read. We're happy to have the opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. Let's return now to our study, and we were looking at an account in the Old Testament in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, which tells of the finding of the Word of God. The Word of God had been lost. It had been laid up in the temple and was not being used. And finally, when they go back into the temple to do some repairs, they find the book of the law. The king is so happy about that that he has the word of the Lord read in the hearing of the people. And they have to submit to the teachings that have been given by God. I believe that account is one which makes us somewhat amazed when we think of the importance of God's Word to mankind and their reaction, their treatment of what God has said. God's our Maker. He's our Creator. And He has given to us His will. He wants us to know what He instructs for us to do. But there are people today who seem to think what God has said is not all that important. So they spend very little time in studying their Bible. Would this be true? Many people today read their newspaper more carefully than they read the Bible. More time is spent in reading the newspaper than in reading what God has said. While the newspaper may be informative, there may be some things that you would learn by reading it, yet at the same time, in comparison to importance, the newspaper pales in regard to the comparison. Certainly, God's Word is the most important and deals with our life here and how we ought to be conducting ourselves. In the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 25, James says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." Now let's look at that statement for a moment. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. To say it is perfect means there is no addition needed, and there could not be an addition added without dealing with the perfection of the Word of God. If the Bible is perfect, what can you add to perfection? What could be added by any man to what God has already said? Well, of course, the answer is nothing. It's the perfect law, but it also is the law that brings liberty. Liberty comes in Jesus Christ. And so it is by this Word, the Word of God, that we learn how to be liberated. Well, what do we need liberation from? The answer is very clear. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Reading your Bible, it isn't hard to be able to see that men and women everywhere have fallen short of what God has instructed. Since we all sin, we all need redemption. We need freedom. Well, how will we receive and obtain that freedom? Notice, it's the perfect law of liberty. The laws in regard to how to be saved are laid down in the Bible. That's the reason that it's such a rich experience to pick up the Bible and to read the book of Acts. In this book, You'll find people who are concerned about their salvation, people who have killed the Son of God. Well, what could they do about it? So the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? That's a legitimate question, and it's asked repeatedly in the book of Acts. Even though there are some preachers today who question the legitimacy of that question, They come along and they say, well, you can't do anything to be saved. Jesus has done it all. Well, I believe the men who were inspired of God knew more about what we need along this line than maybe some preacher today who denies that there's anything you can do regarding salvation. Certainly, no one that I know of denies that we're saved by the grace of God. But at the same time, grace does not eliminate man's obedience. To be saved by the grace of God doesn't mean we're at liberty to do nothing. We have something to do about our sins. Notice that Peter, when he was asked, "What must we do?" did not hesitate in telling them what to do. He didn't take time to say, "Well, there's nothing for you to do," or try to turn people away from obedience. He just was very plain about it. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Now, you know, you very clearly understand the statement, "Repent and be baptized." You wouldn't even think of saying that baptism is no part of God's way of redemption by the things that are taught in that verse. It took some false teacher to come along and say, "The Bible doesn't mean what it says," and begin to undermine what God said on this particular subject. Does the Bible require repentance and baptism for remission of sins? The answer is, without a doubt, yes. The Bible does require that. How many preachers in our town are preaching that you don't need to be baptized? Most of them will say repentance is necessary. But remember, repentance was joined together by the coordinate conjunction and that by inspiration. An inspired man said the two requirements for salvation are repentance and baptism. No one would misunderstand that unless some false teacher had come along and said, "Well, it doesn't mean that you have to do what that verse says." So when the question is asked, "What must I do to be saved?" the answer is given, "Repent and be baptized." And do you know what those people did? When they heard this, they repented and they were baptized. Follow it through in the second chapter of the book of Acts. What did they do? Well, the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. But they that gladly received the word were baptized. So they accepted the teaching that was done. Why would a person spend time in trying to tell people you don't have to do what the Lord said must be done to obtain salvation? Why would preachers spend their time trying to indicate that the Word of God is not right and that what is stated there is merely a matter of opinion and is not doctrinally sound? It just seems very clear to me that it's time for us to get our Bibles out. Don't let the Bible be lost. Use the perfect law of liberty and find out what the Lord wants us to do in order to be saved. Many people in the book of Acts ask what they had to do in order to be saved. The answers were clearly given unto them. That simply means that there was something they had to do, that is, repent and be baptized. We do appreciate studying today. We hope that you'll listen again tomorrow. And we'd like to remind you that it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.